Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not go, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We've been in this series for a few weeks now on the book of Jonah, and one thing that we've discovered is that no matter how familiar this story may be to us, no matter how short it may be, it only takes up a couple pages in the Bible. There is a lot of truth and a lot of lessons to be unwrapped and unpacked and can be applied to our lives. And when just these six or seven verses that I just read, there are a lot of different lessons that you could pull from it and ways you could go with it. But as we looked at this and what was going on, and when we know that Jonah was running away from the Lord, that he had gotten into this boat to try to escape what God had called him to do, and the storm raged against him and against the men, as we look at that, I really want to focus this week on what it means to be in the boat and what it means to be out of the boat. First of all, if we think about what the boat was for Jonah, well, it was a vehicle. Obviously, a boat is a vehicle that we can get in, and it allows us to travel across water. It is it makes travel a lot easier in that regard. And so for Jonah, it was a vehicle that he would get in because he was trying to go somewhere else, obviously. But it was more than just a vehicle for him. It was also a safe haven as he was trying to run away from God, as he was in his moment of rebellion. If you'll remember last week, while the storm started raging against them in the ocean, he went down into the bottom of the boat and tried to go to sleep. So it was more than just a means of transportation. It was also for him, or at least he was trying to make it, a place of refuge and a place of safety. And then finally, the boat was also a place where he didn't belong. It was not God's will for him to be in the boat. That is not where God wanted him. He wanted him to be somewhere else. And so when Jonah tried to use it as a vehicle, his plans failed. He didn't get to where he was trying to go. And when Jonah tried to use it as a place of safe haven and a place of rest, it failed, because the storm wouldn't allow him to rest and to take refuge. And that was all because he was in a place where he didn't belong. And the lesson in all of this really is for us, if we are not where God wants us, physically, mentally, spiritually, if we are not where God wants us, we are not safe. And we are not going to be able to get to the destination that we think that we're going to get to. And we are not going to be able to live out the plans that we've made for ourselves if they are going contrary to God's plans for us. Now, how many of you have tried to make something happen in your life and it just wasn't in the cards? It just wasn't meant to be, and you were very disappointed. You can raise your hands. I think we've all been there at some point. For me, when I was in middle school and in high school, I was really into baseball. And I wanted to be a professional baseball player, And you could say that I had high ambitions, but, you know, I would have settled for the minor leagues probably. I wanted to play baseball for a living one day. That was a dream of mine. And so I worked hard. I practiced hard. I used to get up real early in the mornings and go to the batting cages and do all of this. And I was pouring all of this effort into being a better baseball player. Well, then I got to high school, and I had the privilege of being on a team that was really well-known statewide for being a great baseball program. But the problem was there were a lot of other guys on the team who sort of had their own, they had been there a while, and they had their own almost club. It was very cliquish. And they kind of decided who they liked and who they didn't like, who they were going to let in, and all of this kind of stuff. And there was also, just as it is in many other things in life, there was also this political element where these guys and their parents, they would, you know, rub elbows with the coaches and donate a little extra to the Boosters Club and things like that. And so it became really hard for me not just to associate with the other players, but even to get any playing time on the field. And it was very, very discouraging, especially after I'd spent so long working for this goal. So anyway, a few years passed in this situation, and I transferred high schools and wound up at another school where they had a well-thought-of baseball program. And I thought, okay, well, this is my chance to do it. So I began again to work really hard at baseball and conditioning myself, and then I started trying out for this other team, and it was the same situation all over again. And it was even harder because at this point, you know, I'm a junior in high school, and the coach already had his team that he had been working on for a few years, and so he had it in his mind. And I just got this feeling that it didn't matter how hard I worked or how much I wanted this baseball thing to happen, doors were just slamming in my face. And it was very disappointing and very discouraging. But the thing is, when doors close in our face, a lot of times that's for a reason. There are times things don't work out the way we want them to or the way we plan them to, and it's because God has something much bigger and much better in mind. We don't often see that. We don't always realize that because we're disappointed, but that's the truth. If we are not where God has designed for us to be or where He plans for us to be, things will not be working out the way that we hoped. And that's what was going on with Jonah. He had something else in mind. He had somewhere else he wanted to be, something else he wanted to do. And God said, not so fast. You want to be in this boat? You want to take a nap? You want to feel safe in the sea? Well, it's not going to happen the way you planned for it, because this is not what I had chosen for you. Now, Jonah, up until this point, seems like a pretty selfish guy. And we've been talking for a few weeks about him and how he was rebelling against God and not doing what God wanted. So it makes us kind of scratch our head and wonder, why did God choose Jonah anyway? I mean, he seems pretty self-centered and rebellious. What was it about Jonah that God saw, that he chose Jonah? And then we finally get a glimpse of the good side of Jonah here. Now, of course, it was under adverse circumstances, but Jonah finally does something very selfless. He tells the men on the boat, throw me overboard. You're going to die if you keep me in this boat. Throw me overboard. And the men don't want to do it. It says that even though he said that, they kept rowing, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to throw somebody into this ocean where they were certainly going to die. But Jonah, in a moment of selflessness, he finally does the right thing, and he says, look, y'all are going to die if you keep me here. Throw me overboard. And so Jonah finally gets out of the boat. Now last week I compared the story of Jonah going down and trying to sleep during the storm to in the Gospels when Jesus tried to sleep through or was sleeping through the storm in a boat. And we said that even though those two things were very similar, there was a big difference in that Jesus could sleep through the storm because he was living into God's will. Jonah, on the other hand, it was very arrogant for him to try to sleep through the storm because he was living into his own will. This week, I want to look at Jonah getting out of the boat and compare that to another story in the Gospels, and that is when Peter got out of the boat. If you'll remember, the storm was raging, the sea was tossing the boat all over the place, and the disciples were scared, and then they saw Jesus in the distance walking on the water. And when Peter realized it was Jesus, he got so excited and so overjoyed that he jumped out of the boat into the stormy waters to go meet Jesus. Now, the situations are similar. Two men, two boats, two storms, and both men jump into the stormy waters. But they're different in this. Jonah was forced out of the boat. His hand was forced because it was basically, you've tried to do something that you weren't supposed to do, and now you've got no choice but to get out of the boat and into the storm. Peter, on the other hand, was not necessarily where he wasn't supposed to be. In fact, Jesus had told them to get into the boat. So Peter had done nothing wrong. But yet, he voluntarily jumped into the stormy sea to follow Christ. He voluntarily went headfirst into the storm to follow Jesus, to see Jesus, to be closer to Jesus. And if you read the story, it says that Peter is walking on the water as long as he is looking at Jesus. As long as his mind and his eyes are focused on Christ, he too was walking on the water in the storm. But the second that he started looking down at himself, at his own feet, at the storm around him, he began to sink. And so the lesson becomes a little bit more clear. Getting out of the boat, getting out of our comfort zone, getting out of that thing that we're trying to force that really isn't in God's will, that's good. But we still have to be focused on Jesus. If we're not, we will sink and we will drown. The storm and the ocean can be a very dangerous place to be. But of course, so can the boat. So let's turn all of this on ourselves and let's think about what are the situations that we are in. What are the boats we are in that we shouldn't be in? What are the situations we force? What are the things in our lives that are maybe self-motivated, that we try to place ourselves and we try to make this happen? It could be a certain organization or a job or a school or a group of people we want to be associated with. Whatever it is, there could be something in our lives that we try to make happen, and it's for our own self-interest. Or we could look at the boat as just maybe a place of comfort, which leads to complacency. About a year ago, we did a study on the seven churches of Revelation, and we talked one week about the church that was lukewarm. They had no passion, they had no fire for Christ, and the reason why was because they had become comfortable. They had become complacent. And so sometimes that is our boat. We get in this place where we feel comfortable and we feel safe and we don't ever want to step out of that comfort zone. What is the boat in our life? What is the place? And it could be a physical place or it could be just a mental, it could be a state of mind. What is the place that we are in that God is trying to draw us out of? And I know it's scary to step out of our comfort zone. It's scary to do like Peter or Jonah and just jump into the storm. But when we do, we are placing our faith in God and not in ourselves. And both Peter and Jonah turned out to be okay. Peter took his eyes off Christ and he began to sink. And then Jesus saved him. And Peter refocused on him again. Jonah went into the ocean and thought for sure he was going to die. And then it says here that God had prepared a fish for him. A very unusual way of saving him. But the point is, no matter what the stormy waters we're in, whatever we're facing, if we take that trust we have in ourselves and we place it on God instead, He can save us. He can deliver us from it. Now notice, the storm didn't stop when Peter started walking on the water. And the sea didn't disappear once Jonah got out of the boat. The big, deep, dark sea was still there. And the storms were still raging when Peter got out of the boat. But God still saved them. He still delivered them. And as we sang our How Firm a Foundation hymn earlier, I had originally planned on just having us sing the first, second, last verse because it's five verses, and I know sometimes we don't like to sing that many verses. But then I looked at the words to the third verse and thought, how appropriate. When through deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Sometimes God calls us to jump into those waters, into those storms. And it may be frightening. It may be terrifying. But if our faith is in Him, we know that He is faithful to deliver us. Just as Peter was safe when he kept his eyes on Jesus, Jonah was safe once he finally got out of that boat that he was never supposed to be in the first place. And the same is true for us. It takes a lot of courage to get out of the boats that we would rather be in. We have to get out of our comfort zone, though. That's what being a Christian is. It takes faith to step out of that comfort zone. But when we do, we find that our faith is placed in God instead of in ourselves. And we may also find that by putting this kind of faith in Him, the storms that have been going on around us, they may cease. They may quieten. They may not, but they may. Either way, we are living into His will instead. And we will be safe. So in the week ahead and the days ahead, take that with you. What is the boat that you're in? What is the comfort zone that you might need to step out of? What is the situation you're in that you need to be doing differently? And can you trust God enough to keep you above the stormy waters if you follow Him? Let us pray. Lord, we confess that so often we put our trust in ourselves. We find areas of comfort, areas where we feel that we are safe, or vehicles to go where we want to go. Lord, we confess that we don't always know what's best. You do. And so we ask for your deliverance. We ask for your wisdom. And we ask that you grant us the courage to follow you in a more perfect way, so that our faith and our trust is in you and not in ourselves. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 419, I Am Thine, O Lord. I invite you and encourage you, if you've made a decision of any type this morning, if you will come forward as we stand and sing. Please stand if you are able. Hymn number 419.